Welcome to Straight Talk with Carly Lissa Thorne. And today I have with me Tina C. Hines. And Tina is all about transformation. So we're going to be talking about quite a few different things. We're going to be talking about self-care, empowering ourselves to take our power back, and just some more transformational things like meditation, journal writing, and all these different things that are great for transforming one's life. So welcome, Tina.
Thank you so much, Carly, for having me here today.
I am always thrilled to talk about anybody that has to do with transformations, because to me that is all of life. Transformations to me is change, it's just evolving, learning, it's all these wonderful things. So the first thing I'd love to always ask anyone I'm interviewing is, what got you into your subject field? Like, what got you into transformations and empowerment and self-love and self-care?
Well, what's interesting is I've always had women come to my house, whether it's just my girlfriends or people I may meet, yes, strangers to my home, and having discussions about women. But what was the pivotal moment about me starting my life transformation specialist business is that I had went through my own personal transformation. I was taking care of my mom who had a ruptured cerebral aneurysm. And for a month and a half, I was in Georgia, and I presently live in New Jersey, but I was in Georgia taking care of her. And when I returned home, I was exhausted. I was drained because I was so busy taking care of her that I forgot to take care of me. So after I went away, after returning home, I ended up going away again, but this time for myself. And I did some soul searching. And I started meditating and doing a lot of different things, reading self-help books. And then I discovered that if I went through this personally, there are other women around the world who may also be going through it as well. And that was the jumpstart of me starting my business.
So one of the key things you said right there, which I think is so important, you went through your own self-transformation. And the way I look at it, anytime I'm going to a consultant, a life coach, or whatever that is, even if it's a business, I want to know that whoever I'm working with has done some work on themselves. For example, and I know this is an old analogy, however, this is a perfect analogy. I wouldn't go to a priest who wasn't allowed to get married and talk to them about my issues in my relationship, right? So yes. Thankfully now there's a lot of churches or religions that allow priests to get married. However, I was just using an analogy because that's a pretty strong one. So I think it's really key that we go to people that have done the transformational work on themselves and they've been through not necessarily the exact same, however similar, if you will, transformation or journey. So they know about what we're coming to them to get consulting on. Would you not agree?
I totally agree. And I'm someone who's a big advocate for what you just said. For example, when I'm working with women, I'm very specific that I'm working on what's going on the inside. And if it has to do with relationships, I am all for talking about relationships because I've been in relationships. But if it comes down to talking about a person and the marriage and the challenges they're having in their marriage, I sort of steer away from that because I have never been married. So what I do is I have sort of a Rolodex of coaches or people that they can speak with, and I refer them to someone else. Because like you said, it is important for me to be able to relate to the individuals that I'm working with. And if I haven't experienced it, they may be feeling, you know nothing about it because you've never been through it.
And I'll be like, so yeah, how do you know? You've never done, you know, X, Y, Z.
Right.
And the other thing I'd like to tie back, because the two things I really talk about is I talk about leadership, all of the metaphysical genre and transformations, and conscious business principles. And what I'm finding more and more is when I talk to people that have been on a journey of transformations or bringing this into the work, they're starting to see how we can take these principles and really apply them to business. I always try and tell people, if you treat your own coaching business not like a business, you're going to have a hobby versus a business. So how have you found you've been able to take, for example, like self-care? And as we know, as women, we multitask on many levels. Is one of the first things you hear is if you don't take care of yourself, how do you expect to have the energy to take care of others? So how have you been able to take all these wonderful skills that you're developing? And I know you work a lot with women. But how have you been able to take that into your business practice?
So what I often do is they call me the Kleenex lady because I seem to make everyone cry. But I really try to go deeper into what their challenge may be. And oftentimes it's something from the past that keeps reappearing present life. And they have to be able to want to focus on it. And sometimes they're not ready to go there. So when I think about applying certain areas of what the work that I do with the ladies into my business, I'm specific of exactly what it is that they want to work on and what they want to focus on transforming in their lives. And I guide them. I don't give them all the answers. I guide them towards the answers.
So that's another really very key component you said right there. One of my favorite phrases is that people need to be willing to collaborate or co-create with me. Because you know, as I know, in doing any sort of consulting or coaching, we can't do it for them. We can guide them. We can do it with them. But if they're not willing to meet us halfway and do their work, it's not going to work. They have to be willing to go on the journey. They have to be willing to want to change, right? That's a huge one.
Yes.
And then be very willing to actually do the work within there. And the other thing I like that you said is that you said you work with women starting from what's going on the inside. And a lot of people don't realize that when we stop, when we repress, that's half of our issues because it stores in our memory. It stores in our cells. It literally stores in our body. And then that causes all sorts of things from depression to, you know, illnesses to, like you said, lack of energy, like when you were with your mom and you were dealing with, you know, a lot of different things. And so how do you teach women to, like you said, go inside and actually express and choose to want to deal with whatever is going on?
So I have this little task that I have women do. I ask them to take the time. I said, set a timer because someone did this with me. Take a timer, set it for 30 minutes and make a statement. Let's say I have issues in my relationship. And then you ask the question, why? And then you may say, because my father did this to me in the past. And you go again, why? And you keep asking yourself why. And I tell them, when you're writing, do not edit, because whatever you're feeling at that moment, it needs to really flow through your pen and come out. So just allow yourself to continue to write until the timer goes off or until your hand gets tired. And once you go back and revisit everything you've written, it's amazing what they discover. It becomes very emotional because they're not really thinking, they're not consciously thinking where they can say, oh, this is what I should say. It just naturally flows. And as I take them back to revisit that experience and I go point to point to point of their responses, it's almost like they have their aha moment and them saying, okay, now I understand. So then I'm able to say, this is what you need to work on. And this is, you know, how you're going to be able to transform this challenge that you're having in your life and come out better on the other side.
And I love that. And I know one of the tools you use is writing and journal writing. And I use that with my business clients as well as my clients that may be more mind, body, spirit oriented. And what people don't realize that when you're journaling, those are the most biggest moments for those aha moments where you might get a business idea or you might discover that this might be an avenue for you to go to get leads or whatever that may be in a business form. However, in the same form for whether it be mind, body, spirit, when you are journaling, like you say, you're not self-editing, you're just writing. And the biggest thing is, like you said, is not to get caught up in the shit of what ifs and edit. It's just important to let the stuff flow. And then you can go back and literally go through and see where the triggers are and where you need work. And then, like, you know, it's what is one of the phrases they always say is the first decision on changing any sort of habit or pattern or whatever is first recognizing it. And a lot of those come out when we journal. And then is literally making a choice in that moment to want to choose to change it. And then is putting together those action steps.
Yes, it's very important. And when we talk about the journaling, like I recently shared on social media, you know, three simple steps to a good night's rest. And one of them is actually journaling, because we have so much that's going on in our head of what we experience throughout the day. And it's still churning in our brain as we lay our head on the pillow. So if you release them into your journal, then you don't have to worry about, oh my God, I'm going to forget it. So I'm not going to rest well for fear of forgetting it. And you have released it in your journal and you can revisit it. As I think about my own journal writing, it's amazing how, I mean, I've been keeping journals for a very long time. And it's amazing how the language that I use in my journals has transitioned over the years. One interesting thing about my journals, and I actually shared this, is that every year on, you know, towards the new year, I'm like, oh, this is what happened this year. I hope next year is better. And I consistently did that. But then finally, at the end of, I think it was either 2013 or 2014, this is what happened this year. And I know next year is going to be better. You know, I put the emphasis on knowing versus hoping. And I can say 2015 has been wonderful. And the journal writing has actually helped me. And the transition of what I actually share. There's no more woe is me in my journals.
It's really interesting. I think the more and more we become conscious, take self-development courses and do that self-development work, we really start to realize how powerful our words are and that they're all silent prayers. And we start to be more mindful. Like I already caught myself saying it once in this interview. I never use the word should've, could've's. I don't never like to use the word T-R-Y. That's why I spell that one out. There's another big one that for me is the big one, and it's but. Because if I say to you, I love you, but, the person automatically retracts and they're waiting for the other shoe to drop. Versus if I say, I love you, and, they hear that I love you, and they know something else is coming, but it's not like this huge slap, if you will. And I normally, the minute I catch myself saying it, no matter where I am, even if I'm on stage, I will instantly say, and. And it's an old, old habit. And it took me a long time to be really conscious of it and be so conscious of it that I'll neatly change the word. And it's so true. So the journaling, even watching our journaling, you can actually see the more empowered that we get, the more we take our power back, and the more we learn, we literally do shift that self-esteem, that confidence, that, like you said, not from a place of hoping, but instead already being in the faith place. And I said it again, and, right, so already and being in the faith place, and then already knowing that you can go there.
Yes, definitely. I like that you talked about taking our power back. I mean, I think that is so important that sometimes we feel that we don't have power. And what I like to encourage the women is, you know, I always say reclaim your power, because if you don't know who you are as a woman and what you are capable of as a woman, the probability of someone being able to take advantage of you, to walk over you and make you feel less than, it's a higher rate. But we have so much power within ourselves, and it goes back to that self-confidence and that self-esteem that we have to, you know, really cultivate often, because life's experiences sometimes knocks us down and makes us question that. So power is important. Reclaiming our power is very important to me.
So I think tying into that as women, I'd also like to include, you know, the funny thing is, it's like we talk about, there's a huge self-development movement for women, which I'm totally for. And it's really strange because I wish men had more womanhood, right? Like really great principles and this womanhood. I wish men had that place where they could actually talk. So they could they could actually learn to embrace their feminine side along with their masculine side and allow, you know, each other to sense and feel what that is, and and be able to, like, again, because men have, there's plenty of men that have eating disorders, self-esteem issues, confidence issues, you know, plethora of issues, and I just wish it was kind of like this manhood. I mean, there are groups now that are actually doing this. I just wish there was more of just as much of empowerment for men and for women, because it takes equally and for us both to understand each other to have a successful relationships and marriages and even have a divorce that's like very amicable, and it's not about pitting children and everything, but they can actually be an adult and have adult conversations about the divorce. That all comes about from literally learning about women and men and learning how to co-create, even if it means that, you know, we've come to our end of our journey and I still love you, and I really want to transition in a way where we both, we have learned, we've accepted, we still love, and we have children. Now let's do this in a way that now that they can literally have their journey where it's more at peace than war.
It's funny because I have some male friends and they'll, or people I've met on social media, and they'll ask me, is there something for men that you do? And I'm like, no, there isn't. They said, well, why don't you work for men? I was like, because I said, the energy pulls me towards women, that I need to be able to serve the women that come to me. And I've had a couple of guys say, well, would you help me start something for men? And I was like, I'd be more than happy. I'd come and help you facilitate it, but I want you to be able to take it over. Because just like I'm having these conversations with women, the conversations need to be happening amongst the men as well. The challenge with the men sometimes is they don't want to allow themselves to be vulnerable. They don't want to let that manly side down, let their guard down, and know that they feel pain just like the women do, because it makes them sometimes feel less than a man, and they don't want that feeling. But the conversations need to take place. Yes, especially when we think about those people who have experienced abuse, and the abuse is often at the hands of a person of the opposite sex. And if they're not having the same conversations that the women are having, there's going to be a breakdown somewhere.
And I think it's even more hurtful, especially for men, and even for women, if the abuse happens by the same sex. Mm-hmm. And especially for men, because then that whole subject of, homophobia and all those guilt feelings. I mean, it's the same for females if it's a, woman to woman. I think, mm-hmm. though, with the culture the way it is, it's a lot stronger if it's a man abusing a man, in terms of the whole guilt and mental, right. and all issues. I mean, mm-hmm. I myself grew up with sexual, verbal, physical abuse, so I've worked with a lot of people that, again, like you're talking about, bringing their power back. And it's a very deep-rooted in our culture. There's still unbelievably amount of, not just sexual abuse and rape and all those other things, but even like within the incest, within families, I hear about it all the time. Yes. Like their brother might have done this, and the sad part about it is we as a culture attempt to sweep things under the comfort, the carpet, mm-hmm. instead of saying, I've been through X, Y, and Z, and I'm still here, and mm-hmm. if I can do it, so can you. So never, right. ever give up, right? So yes. I always use my background as a tool to mm-hmm. empower my clients versus going, woe is me, and oh my God, and instead of telling the story from a victim energy, literally telling mm-hmm. the story. Place of empowerment.
Yeah, and I do the same thing, because 15 years ago, interesting story, 15 years ago, someone broke into my home and attempted to rape me. And my son was home with me, so it was just he and I in the house. And when I think about what transpired after that, I focus on this. Everyone often asks, well, how have you gotten past it so easily? I says, well, first of all, it wasn't easy. Second of all, I think about the key word that I said. He attempted. He wasn't successful. And the transition that my life has taken over the past 15 years, there are certain things in my life that I thought I would never have. And because of that one moment, everything has transitioned in my life. And what has manifested has been absolutely awesome. And did the young girl back 15 years ago think that she would have her own business helping other women right now? No, wasn't even in the cards for me. But, life happens, and that experience was something I needed to happen. Probably didn't want it to happen, but it needed to happen in order for me to relate to other women. So I had the experience. I'm able to share that story and say, look, I didn't let that experience hold me hostage. I refused to let it hold me hostage, because then I was giving that experience power, and I refused to let anyone take my power away.
So this ties into when you sent me key points and things you'd like to cover, right? Living and existing. Yes. We can mm-hmm. live a life where we're just walking through it, which to me is the existing part, or we can choose to embrace the lessons. I always tell people, never ever regret your past. Mm-hmm. honor it, feel it, embrace it, forgive it, yourself and the person, whoever the perpetrator was. You don't necessarily have to forgive the act, because the right. act itself isn't right. However, you do have to forgive the person regardless, and yourself. And then take actionable steps from what you learned, and then move forward, let it go, right? So that's the choosing between existing in the trauma or living and thriving and coming out the other side, which, like we talked about earlier, was the aha moments. So I'd love for you to give the audience some, because you've actually done some work with this and obviously been through your own journey. What are some valuable tips and tools you can give to the audience about how to go from existing to living?
Well, it's one of my favorite things to tell women to do is to take a self-love bath. To start loving on yourself and know that you are worthy of everything you open your hands to receive. You are worthy to receive it. You're worthy to give it to yourself. So with this self-love bath, and part of it goes back to the journaling, is to submerge yourself in a bath of your favorite smell good bubbles, whatever it is, and allow yourself to enjoy the experience. And you're cupping the water in your hand and scooping it over your body and just laying there. And whether you're having your soft music playing or you're sitting in quietness with a candle, if you have children, tell them to leave you alone for an hour. But just be there and go within yourself. And whatever emerges, if you feel you need to cry, let the tears flow. If you need to laugh, start laughing. But think about your life and what it means to you and where you want it to transition from. And then after you've had that experience, you take it to your journal and you write in your journal whatever emotion that came up, allow yourself to write that emotion down. And you're still, again, if it was the tears, it's a part of your cleansing process. So you're cleansing whatever it is that was going on, and now you're going to release it in your journal. I find that that is very important because we're holding on to things like hostage. We're holding it hostage and we don't want to let it go. And when you create a space for you to open up and allow it to be released, the comfort that you're seeking, the love that you're seeking, you're going to be able to give it to yourself. And it takes time, it takes patience, and it takes you nurturing the woman within, nurturing that inner child that sometimes need that love and you're looking for it from outside sources, but you need to give it to yourself.
One thing I love that you actually mentioned, if you have kids, tell them to leave you alone for an hour. I run into this one all the time. I talk, women are, a lot of women that choose to have it all, if you will, and they're working a full-time job, and they're married, and they have kids, and they really have no me time. And so one of the things that I always, express, like you said, you find that hour. If you have kids and you know they're not going to give you that hour, find someone to literally be with your kids for that hour. So you really get that time when you're not worried about the kids knocking on the door or coming in the bathroom or whatever that is. I always tell people, form communities. Like one day you might take all the kids, another day another woman might take all the kids, mm-hmm. or whatever you need to do. Or you have that agreement with your husband. Hey, guess what? You come home and I know you're stressed out. Here's your hour of alone time. I need my, so here's your hour with the kids. When I'm doing my alone time and when you have your alone time, I'll take care of the kids. People need to make sure that their self-care is a priority. Because as we discussed, you really can't be there fully. You can be there mm-hmm. half-assed, if you will. You won't be able to mm-hmm. be there really fully if you don't really take the time to make your self-care a priority. And that means getting some exercise in. I don't care what form of exercise it is, we need to move our bodies. We're at desks all day long. We're sitting all day long. So really take the time to, literally eat as healthy as you can. Exercise. Like I said, if someone that's into the mind-body-spirit connection, find that time to meditate. You need to find, and everyone tells me, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money. I don't have time to get a sleep. So there's tons of ways. There's volunteers. Senior volunteers would be more than happy to come watch a kid for an hour. There's so many ways of finding what you need if you look for the resources.
If you look for it.
There's always better.
One of the interesting things when women tell me they don't have time, I says, here's something so simple, because I believe we have a chaotic life sometimes. So I like to make things simple. Set your alarm to go off 30 minutes earlier. And then when the alarm goes off, just lay in the bed. Don't jump up. Don't start doing your daily activities. Just lay there for 30 minutes. Listening to the sound of nature outside, or just listening to your breathing, or even doing your meditation. You've given yourself 30 minutes of quiet time before the house becomes a little bit chaotic and you start your daily activities. I mean, I'm good at carving out pockets of time. I had one of my clients was telling me, I don't even have time to write the grocery list. And I said, here's something very simple. And I found it in the Container Store. They have a notepad that you can stick on your refrigerator that has the grocery list written out for you. All you have to do is tell the family when you use the last of something, put a check mark next to the item, and you can walk out the door and grab the paper off the refrigerator and keep on going. And I've implemented these simple tasks into my personal life, so I know they work. And even when your kids are doing activities, if your child has practice for a sport and you feel like you need to do some writing or some reading, you know, you can either sit on a bench or bring your own chair and watch the kids and do your reading, or you can sit in the car while you're waiting for them. There are so many ways that we can create pockets of time. We just have to be creative with how we do it.
One of the ones I love is, actually, like you said, getting in the car. I know so many clients now are learning when their kids are having karate, whatever, do their power naps. They'll either do their power nap to recharge, mm-hmm. or they might go to the car and do their meditation. Like you said, there's so many ways of carving out the time. And one of the things that we were talking about journaling earlier, taking time to journal, like before you go to bed. Another great one is after, like you said, lay down in bed for whatever it is. I personally like to, I set my alarm twice. So I set it earlier and then I wake up and I put on my affirmations and that type of meditation music. And then, then you have that 30 minute when it goes off. So you don't fall back asleep. Sometimes it'll happen. Is first thing you get in the morning, having that pen and paper. Because like you said, before we go to bed, our brains are racing about all the things you got to do tomorrow. A lot of times, the minute we wake up, our brain is racing about all the things we have to do that day. So if you brain dump on the paper before you go to bed, and then if you listen to your music and you're kind of in that hazy place, and then before you put your feet on the floor, brain dump again, you're not good while you're getting ready, which should be self-care time. Your brain's already racing about, I gotta do this. It's really great to do the brain dump before you do the self-care. Because a lot of times when you're brushing your teeth, your mind's already racing, or you're taking a shower instead of enjoying the shower, you're like, oh my God, I got 1,000 things to do. So I thought that's a great one, including in that journal. You might have two journals. One is your morning journal, because it's going to be all to-dos, and your night journal might be gratitude or something. And if you do gratitude list at night, that sometimes diffuses everything about what you have to do tomorrow. So it just depends. Some people have, depends how you want to do it. You have the gratitude journal or your other journal, or, I know many people have multiple journals. Work journal, yes. Idea journal, gratitude journal, whatever that is for you.
Yes.
So the other thing I'd love for you to give some tips on is, and not only meditation, we've talked about a little bit of meditation and journal writing and reclaiming our power, living, existing. I'd love to give some people some tips on how to catch our self-defeating behaviors, because that's a big one.
I'm sorry, repeat that.
How do we catch the self-defeating behaviors?
Oh, okay. That's the whole negative self-talk. the negative self-talk. And sometimes you have to ask yourself, when you're starting to talk negative, ask yourself, is this true? If you're saying, oh, I can't do this, and that's one of my least favorite words, between can't and procrastination, I can't do this. And and also when they say, I don't know, in my opinion, as adults, we know. We cannot use the I don't know excuse like our children may use, and we can't say I can't do it, because it's not more of I can't, it's either I don't want to, or there's a fear attached to it. And when you allow those limiting fears to block you, it's stopping you from doing things in life that that you want to do. And you have to ask yourself, what is it that's attached to this fear that makes me not want to do it? If you think about people who, have a fear of success, what is the fear about success? I have fear of being successful and not being successful. So you have that double-edged sword. And so how do you transform that? And you say the benefits of, if you're in a woman in business, or if there's something that you want to obtain and you work towards it and you have your success, you say you worked for this. So that means you deserve it. So you shouldn't allow it to limit you in working towards achieving it, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And lastly, I know you told me earlier you have a book coming out in the fall on meditation. Mm-hmm. I'd love for you to actually tell us what the title is, and when it does come out, what would people benefit by reading it? What would be some of the ahas that they would have from reading the book? So what is the title of the book that will be coming out?
I've massaged the title a couple of different ways. Meditation to a Healthier You, Relaxation Through Meditation. So I'm still massaging the title that I want, because I want to make sure it captures everything. And what the book is going to have is, it's going to have quotes that I often use, and then a guideline of how to apply that quote through your meditation. And it's funny, because today I got it back from my editor. I was just looking at it. I got it back from my editor because we were working on a few things. And every time I read it, I'm like, oh, I'm so inspired. But it's about inspiring you to move forward in your life and to reclaim your power, just like we're talking about. And most importantly, to practice self-care and practice self-love, because that is key. And that is what I consistently encourage women to do, because it is essential in our daily life. So with the meditations, it's going to be a nice little nudge quote from Tina, and then the background information to really make you think about, how can I apply this in my life?
Oh, I like that. So I want everyone to look out for the book, and you can go to Tina's website, which is her name, T-I-N-A, her middle initial C, and her last name, H-I-N-E-S. So Tina C. Hines. So I want to really thank you for spending this time with me and helping give the audience some wonderful tips and tools about self-care and taking their power back. It's been absolutely wonderful having you. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. As my audience always knows, I've put together an entire blog post, which will have all of Tina's information, her bio, her links. It'll have the embedded podcast as well as the embedded video. I look forward to bringing you valuable content every week. Thank you so much for joining me, your host. You can find me at CarlyLissathorne.com, CarlyLissathorne. And we wish you a wonderful day. Have a great day, everyone.